get some more detail on today's big business stories. Mark Summers is the business editor of 7 Days newspaper, and he joins me on the line right now. Mark, good talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Hi there, Richard.
Mark, let's talk very briefly about the Etihad deal in a little bit more detail. Tim and I were talking about it earlier. What was your first reaction when you saw that Etihad had signed a co-chair deal with Air France KLM?
Well, we were warned it was coming, not in so many words, but James Hogan, I saw him give a speech, a presentation on where Etihad was going last week at an aviation conference in Abu Dhabi, and he did say, we're open to more partnerships, watch this space, there'll be more soon. Little did we know it was going to be one with an airline of the size of Air France KLM, European giant. And one of the things that's striking about it, I've seen in the coverage today, is that it marks a change of strategy on the part of many of the big European airlines, if you like. It's no secret the likes of Lufthansa and Emirates, there's no love lost between some of these European legacy carriers and UAE airlines. But now we have Air France almost kind of saying, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. And all these, you know, we've heard European airlines say Gulf Airlines have all these advantages and kind of crowing about that. Now they've realized, you know, well, maybe there's some advantages that we can take advantage of and, you know, sign a partnership with. It's certainly a very interesting deal.
You may use the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them. That's one Tim and I were using as well. And I had to stop myself saying this is the surrender of European airlines, the dominance of Gulf carriers, because I felt myself getting a little bit carried away with it. Here's the thing, Mark. Are we just seeing this through the prism of Gulf carriers because we live here and as journalists we meet the likes of James Hogan and the likes of Tim Clark and we've just basically bought into their propaganda? We've bought into their story. Have we been brainwashed into thinking that Gulf carriers are fantastic and European carriers are a bit rubbish? Or is that actually the objective truth?
I understand that, you know, the danger of that, but I think you only need to look at the kind of comments coming out of Europe, not even the ones coming out of the Gulf carriers, but obviously Lufthansa have had their beef with some airlines in this region, as have Canadian airlines over in Canada, and British Airways, Willie Walsh has, you know, obviously there's politics involved and he wants a bigger airport in London, but he said in very stark terms that, you know, Emirates has the capability of, you know, overtaking British Airways in many aspects if the British government doesn't get its act together. So you don't need to buy all of the hype coming from this region. Just look at the frightening noises coming out of the mouths of European aviation CEOs to see that, you know, there is a danger to them coming from the Gulf.
And indeed, just to sort of put some historical context on this, a story from 2 years ago to the day, pretty much, October the 11th, 2010, a Bloomberg story, Air France CEO calls for EU curbs on Gulf carriers' expansion. This is Pierre-Henri Gourgion saying, Europe is at the crossroads of international air travel and this is a role we need to value and defend. What we're telling the authorities is that we need a strategy to give us a chance to resist. And you've also had organizations in Europe, haven't you? I know there's been a lot of criticism directed at Airbus for the fact that it gives export credits to the Gulf carriers buying European aircraft, whereas European carriers don't. There's been a number of different gripes, haven't there?
Absolutely. I mean, you wonder, like you say, if not quite the surrender, is it sort of a begrudging handshake now between the two sides? You know, it's tough out there. Every press release, every announcement, every press conference from carriers, even ones from this region, never fails to mention the fuel price, how tough it is, how bad the economy is in Europe. I mean, I guess they have bigger things in their mind now than sort of point scoring over regulation and such, and they're putting those aside and you know, just chasing money, basically, which is what they have to do to stay in business in the case of these European airlines.
Final quick question on this. What does this mean for us living here in the UAE as Etihad customers? I've just booked my Etihad flight back to Manchester next month. Does that mean I'm going to get to stop off in Paris for a couple of days and enjoy myself on the Champs-Élysées on my way back to the grim industrial northern town?
Well, that's your choice, Richard. But certainly, I think that I mean, it's code sharing. I mean, there's no two ways around it. Of course, it makes things easier. I mean, the main easy thing about it is we've all been in the position, I think, where perhaps to save a bit of money, we've booked the start of a journey on one airline, then had to change somewhere, pick up our case, walk round to the other terminal in the airport, and check on in the next airline. Code sharing allows you to check your baggage right through, use different airlines, but without really being aware of it, if you like. You know, sometimes you book onto a flight of one airline and you're flying on an aircraft from one of their code-sharing partners. It just takes some of the hassle out of flying. And, you know, obviously the airlines themselves are hoping to take, you know, some of the revenues from their partners' routes. And, you know, it should be win-win in theory.
Very quickly, Mark, one of the other stories you're covering today is a little bit close to home, business on the ground here in the UAE, here in Dubai, and comments from the chief executive of Dubai SME.
Absolutely. I mean, small businesses, I think one of the appeals of anyone surely dreamed of starting their own business, and one of the appeals is not having a boss, not having lots of paperwork and boring meetings, if you like. It's the romantic kind of wheeler dealer aspect to starting your own business, to being a small business, you know, the cut and thrust of making those early deals on the way to success. But the bad news is that the head of Dubai SME, the organization that is really looking out for small and medium-sized businesses in Dubai, a gentleman called Abdul Al-Jahani, said today at an event that you really can't scrimp on the paperwork. He said, doesn't matter how great your idea is, if you don't have some sort of paper trail behind you, you know, ingoings, outgoings, a very clear business plan, he's not going to invest. And more importantly, the banks elsewhere in the UAE aren't going to invest. And we've heard this at 7 days before from interviews with the likes of Gulf Finance, which is a firm that funds small firms. They've told us before, forget the neon sign, forget the gold business card, get a plan, make sure it's sustainable, and try and have some money behind you so that you can last for 6 months or so if people don't pay their bills on time. So the bad news is, yeah, you'll never fully escape those math lessons from school, no matter how good your idea, or at least you could pay someone else to do it for you, I suppose. That's how accountants make their money, isn't it?
Mark, always good to get your views. Thanks very much indeed for joining us tonight. Mark Summers there. He's the business editor of 7 Days.